Folks, if you're struggling with a relationship with your team or your boss or your peers, or maybe you're not struggling, but you just want to get better in terms of relationships and you understand DISC, we highly recommend you consider our Effective Relationships series of podcasts. You can buy a series telling you that if you're a D, how to relate to your directs, each of whom D, I, S, and C, or if you're a D, relating to your boss, who might be a D, I, S, and C. It will tell you in every podcast, some of them as much as 2 hours long, how to handle meetings, how to handle delegations, how to handle feedback and coaching, how to brief your boss, how to disagree with your boss, how to communicate in general with your boss, what your boss wants from you, and what you might want from your directs as well. Many of the show notes are 20 and 25 pages long to give you many, many examples and many, many details of behaviors you can engage in to, again, as we like to say, reduce the drama, reduce the tension, reduce the conflict, and increase the harmony and collaboration, which leads to better outcomes because it's all about results and people are what's important.
Welcome to Career Tools. This week, including your spouse. So this cast came out of an email that we were sent with somebody asked a question, and we thought the question was interesting and probably applied to a lot more people than the person who just sent the email. So we decided to write a podcast about it. So the question was, I'm trying to build my career towards a CIO, CTO level and reach out to as many professionals at the CIO level, male and female, for career advice. He's trying to move his career along to the next level and he's meeting with lots of people, which is building your network, which is all a good thing. So he's having coffee meetups and so on, and he's met with several females in these roles, and his wife, not being a career woman, does not understand why he needs to meet with them.
Yeah, I gotta say, Wendy, when I read this question, I thought it was a great question, but I gotta say, my first thought was that phrase, not being a career woman, does not understand why I need to meet with them. And I thought, I don't think she doesn't understand because she's not a career woman. I don't think that's the problem. I think the problem is that she doesn't understand why you're having these meetings and what the purpose is and what your goal is. So I felt a little bit compelled to share that because I think it goes to the heart of our guidance, doesn't it?
That's right. It's not really a problem about what she does or meeting co-workers. It's a problem of communication.
Yeah, because my husband is a business owner and there have been times where there are things going on in my career that he doesn't understand, and he's got his own career and he understands how those things work, but the problem is that I haven't followed our guidance that we're about to go through as well as I could have. So again, this is a communication problem. And as we all know, more communication is better.
Absolutely. Okay, so the outline, what we're going to go through today is share your career intention in detail, share your reason for meeting in detail, share the outcome in detail, meet in public places in office hours, and don't ever forget, in inverted commas, to tell them. And we'll come to why the inverted commas are in there later on.
Also known as Joey air quotes.
Yes. You're going to do all the Markisms in this class.
Okay. That'll be my role. All right. So our first piece of guidance is to share your career intention in detail. So what we mean by that is explaining how you work and with whom you work. This can be difficult sometimes, right? I mean, we have to do it a lot. We talk about it with vendors, with customers, with people from other parts of the organization, at other sites, and it never seems to get easier. It's just hard. It's complicated. And often when we get home, we don't even want to try, right? We're tired. We've been doing it all day. We've been talking to people about this stuff all day. And we're just tired of doing it. So it's hard. And a lot of people say, you know what? I really want to keep work at work. And, you know, maybe it's better that my family doesn't know all these details so they don't worry.
Absolutely. And they're all good reasons that we can tell ourselves, but they don't help at all. Because where there is no communication, there's mystery. If we don't know something as human beings, we don't like uncertainty. We like to know that there is no lion behind that rock. And so when there is a lack of communication, we fill in the gaps. And if you've ever sat in Starbucks drinking a coffee and looked around and you've made stories up about all those people just because you don't know anything about them, and it's kind of interesting to do that. And that's what your spouse will do if you're not communicating with them fully. They'll just have these imaginary conversations where there's something going on that probably isn't going on, but they fill the space with whatever their imagination tells them.
And what's so interesting about that, Wendy, is most of the time, virtually all the time, I would say, we don't fill that space with something good, right?
No, we don't. You're right.
If your boss sends you an email at 10 o'clock in the morning and says, hey, come by my office at the end of the day, no one thinks, oh, great, I'm going to get a pay raise today.
No, you always think, what am I in trouble for? And you sit there going through like the last 2 weeks thinking, what have I done that he could be telling me off about?
Absolutely. And it's the same with our families. We need to share much more with our families. One easy way to do this is to print out an org chart, stick it up in your house, on the fridge, somewhere, on a cork board, wherever you keep that stuff in your house, and add little pieces, little bits of information about the people on the chart, things that your family can understand and can relate to. For example, Bob is married to Mary. They have two children and a big ginormous dog called Fluffy, right?
Yeah, and that makes those people real,
right?
To people in your family.
And those are all things that your family, your spouse, your partner, your children, they can identify with those things. They can understand those things. By the way, if you find this challenging, coming up with these types of things, that just proves that you don't know your coworkers as well as you think you do. And if you have struggled doing coming up with things like that for your directs, proves you don't know your directs as well as you think you do. And hopefully you're doing one-on-ones to get better.
Yeah. And those are all important things to other people too, right? That's the kind of human connection that where we say, these are the things we have in common.
Yep.
And they're often family things children and pets and so on. And you might want to start this small. So you just, you know, start with your boss or start with people that you work with that are your peers, and then you can expand it. But even little tiny children will understand that these are the people I work with every day, and these are the people that I don't see every day, because they go to school or they go to nursery or kindergarten, and they know that, oh, I see these teachers every day, but this kid only comes in once a week. So if you relate it to their life, they can absolutely understand what daddy does when daddy goes to work or mummy or whatever.
So when it comes to adults, like your spouse or your partner, you probably ought to sit down and have a conversation with them, right? Sit down and walk them through this org chart. And we have an example. I'll read it, Wendy. So This is what it might sound like. And I'm going to use my husband's name. So, Tim, I realize I have been a little reticent about my work and where I want to go, what my career goals are. I know that you understand kind of the big picture, the broad brush strokes. But I do have some more specific plans that are going to affect our family, and I really want you to know the details. Right? That's how you introduce it. You're leading this conversation with your spouse because you have more information about your work and your career and your goals and the people that you're working with than your spouse. Don't expect your spouse to know the questions to ask and to ask all the right questions. Certainly answer any questions they do have and make sure that you've covered your plans in great detail. Talk about the names. Use the names of people, their personalities. Talk to them about some of those relatable things that we mentioned earlier. This all helps to ensure that there aren't any surprises.
Yeah, that's good. And I notice you do that with Tim a lot because he always knows what's going on. Whenever I see him, or sometimes we text, and he knows exactly what's going on with everybody. Which helps that he's a super high eye.
Yes, it does.
Still, I'm sure it's due to your sharing skills too.
Well, he would like me to share more, so I'm working on it.
So the next thing is, if you're meeting someone specific, so this up till now we've been having a more general conversation about the people who are in your work life, as it were. So now we're going to go more specific and say, share your reason for meeting in detail. And we're going to say, tell your spouse when you're meeting anyone. male or female. But we don't mean, oh, I'm meeting my boss for our weekly one-on-one, or we're meeting in our staff meeting, because those are kind of day-to-day. And, you know, probably if you're going to make some big announcement, as it were, in your one-on-one, you're going to tell your boss that you're leaving, or that you're going to have a baby or something like that. You want to go back to school. Your spouse should, we hope, know about that conversation. But a general one-on-one or a general staff meeting or something, some meeting that you have very frequently, you don't necessarily need to tell them, you know, all the details. If you're meeting with someone who you don't normally meet with, so a new vendor or someone from another division or someone outside of the company, then you do want to tell them. And it doesn't really, if you make it that you do it every time, no matter the sex of the person, no matter where they work, no matter where you're meeting, then it will just become an everyday thing that you do every time you have a meeting with someone that is out of the ordinary and a person that your spouse may or may not know. You'll just do it every time. And then the fact that you do it every time makes it less of a mystery.
All right, going back to our previous point, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not married, so I can't really say this, but I know when I was a teenager, I would tell my parents, oh, I'm meeting so-and-so, I'm meeting Sue, I'm meeting Jane, I'm meeting some other girl. And then when I was meeting a boy, oh, there was no communication whatsoever. And they knew. They were like, where are you going? Oh, just out. It's clearly you're doing something, right, that you shouldn't be doing.
That's right.
Or at least something that you don't want to explain. And I think not wanting to explain is a telling thing that you don't want to explain for a reason. It's probably not a good one. And so that gap, that sort of absence of information suddenly, is really noticeable. But the frequency and the fact that you do it every time provides a sense of comfort for your spouse or another member of your family or whoever we're talking about.
Yep, more communication just makes everybody more comfortable,
yeah.
Right?
I don't think you can ever have enough communication, despite the fact that I'm a high D and so I don't communicate with anyone. I do recognize its benefits.
So what are some of the things, Wendy, that we should tell them?
Well, we're going to tell them when and where you're meeting. And we'll give you some guidelines about acceptable places to meet so that you don't lead yourself into a bad place. So breakfast, lunch, or immediately after work, those are all usually acceptable times to meet. If you're meeting in a nightclub after 10 o'clock at night, it's probably more likely to cause controversy than a lunch meeting.
Unless you own the nightclub.
Yeah, if you own the nightclub, it's fine.
Because that's your office.
And in this case, kind of acceptable means both acceptable to your spouse and also that the meetings probably won't be questioned by co-workers, because none of us really want to be the subject of office gossip.
No.
I think I just invented a word there.
Then we also recommend you tell them, meaning your spouse, why you're having this meeting. What is it that you think you're going to get out of the conversation, and how is that related to your career ambitions? Why is this person the right person for you to talk to about this part of your career? This is not about justification. It's about being open and honest. If you're working hard to justify the meeting, if that's how you're viewing it, then it's probably not a meeting that you should be participating in.
Exactly. If you want to keep quiet, it's not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And answer all of your spouse's questions. Openness means answering questions. If you think about the difference between a politician who's been caught doing something they shouldn't, and some of them just give a briefing. So they'll read the text and their wife will stand next to them, or their husband will stand next to them with a fake smile, and they'll read the text and then they'll say no questions and disappear. And we don't trust those people as much as we trust the people who say, there's a situation, I'm going to answer every question you have. And the journalists ask a bunch of questions, which represents the questions that we probably would ask. And those people, even if they're not more trustworthy, it feels like they're more trustworthy, because we feel like we've had the chance to asked the questions off the cuff and they couldn't answer it with a standard, you know, what they had written down. Because they have to improvise, they must have told us the truth. And so that's the same thing with the conversation with your spouse. You don't want to have a conversation where you effectively give a briefing and you just tell them stuff. You want to answer all their questions, and because that gives them comfort that you are telling them everything, as it were. And a lot of this stuff is about feelings and how people feel about conversations, which are kind of universal. And we don't normally talk about feelings, but I think when it comes to your personal relationships, there's definitely feelings involved.
Unfortunately for all the high D's and C's in the world.
Yeah, exactly. What is that? Stop doing that.
Speaking of DISC, and if you're unfamiliar with what we mean by DISC, we have some podcasts on that. But if you know that you are married to a high I or a high S, you ought to be prepared for more conversation and more questions.
Yeah, especially about the people, right?
Yeah, especially about the people. My husband is a high I, and he asks tons of questions about the people. So be ready for that and be willing to share. Because again, as Wendy, to your point about the politician, being unwilling to answer questions, again, comes across as a little bit of, you know, maybe you're hiding something. So
yeah. Okay, so now we're going to share the outcome in detail.
Right. We told them why we're having the meeting prior to the meeting. And once we've done that, your spouse or partner is going to want to know what happened, right? They're going to want to know whether or not you achieved your objective that you told them, that you, the purpose for this meeting. So we recommend that you share this, and you also share all the rest of the details about the meeting. Stuff like, how long was the meeting? What did you talk about? Did you only talk about the things you said you were going to talk about, or did the conversation veer off topic? It might seem a little trivial that during a conversation about your career, you also discussed the best place to go on vacation in Mexico. But again, remember, mystery breeds distrust and hurt feelings.
Yeah. Can you imagine that you had a meeting with someone and then a couple of weeks later, Tim says, where should we go on holiday? And you say, oh, I really fancy this resort in Mexico. And he would say, how did you find out about that? And you say, oh, well, this meeting with this guy that I had a couple of weeks ago. That's not going to go down as well as...
No.
Oh, and he had... if you have the conversation immediately and you say, oh, and he had a really good suggestion about a place in Mexico to go, right?
It's like you've been in our house, Wendy. You've heard that conversation.
Yeah, we want to talk about what that person recommended for next actions, or what the conclusion of the meeting was that... Was it in line with your thinking? Do you feel like you got the information that you needed? Are you going to follow their guidance or not? Or are you going to meet again? That's another thing, you know, if you're going to follow their guidance, if you suddenly start saying, well, you know, Mark says I should do this and Mark says I should do that and I'm going to do this because Mark told me to, all of a sudden Mark becomes this huge thing in your relationship where he doesn't need to be if you'd have told them, you know, immediately after the meeting, because they know what you're going to do and they know why you're going to do it and they remember the conversation.
This is one that I am really working on getting better, because this is an area I think I do pretty good with the first one, right? With briefing ahead of time, but the follow-up afterwards, and it's because I'm a high D, high I, and my high D kicks in and I'm like, okay, the meeting's over. Check. I'm moving on to the next task. I don't have a lot of interest in going back and talking about a meeting that's already taken place, because in my mind, the meeting's over. But it's really, really important, I've learned, with your family and with your spouse. Absolutely. And I've learned that even sharing to me what seems like really unimportant things, like if we went to eat, where did we go to eat? Who ordered what?
You know,
those types of things are important. I think, again, because it gives a face to these people. It gives them insight into people's personalities. So, and we just want to be clear. I think it's important, Wendy. These conversations that we recommend you have, this is not about you covering your backside. This is not about being prepared in case your spouse makes accusations later, whether those accusations are founded or unfounded. This is about being open with the person closest to you in your life who is supporting you so that you can both work together to achieve your goals, in this case, your career goals. And if your relationship, if that relationship, which ought to be the primary relationship in your life, is so broken that you feel the need to cover yourself, then really this is no longer about who you're meeting with and work meetings and colleagues. This is about something much bigger. And we're not family tools, so I don't think we can probably help with that. But
no. See a therapist.
Yes.
This reminds me, I feel like we're going into a lot of detail about, you know, what to tell your spouse about meetings, and you probably think, well, I tell them enough, and why am I listening to these two go into excruciating detail about exactly what I should say? But it reminds me of a question that somebody asked Mark when I was with him a couple of years ago, and she said, how did you switch from work mode into house mode when you got home? And Mark had this list of, like, I do this and I do this and I change my clothes and I you know, consciously think, okay, I'm closing the door to work things, I turn off my phone, all these things. And it occurred to me that in every situation that we find ourselves in, there is thought to be had about those situations. You can actually think through those situations and think, am I doing the thing that it would be best to do, or could I do this better if I thought about it for a bit? And a lot of those things we do, you know, without thinking about them. If I come home from work, I just walk in the door and I do whatever feels right next. Whereas if you want it to improve, then you have to think about the actions you're taking, even on mundane things like walking through the door from work or meetings you're having that your spouse wants to know about.
Yeah. And something that I have found to be very helpful, Wendy, with this is to remind myself, to constantly remind myself that Tim doesn't know everything that I know about my work. He's not experiencing it with me all day long. And so it's that big mystery that you talked about earlier. It's a big question mark. It's all uncertainty. Good. So I think next we have recommendations about the actual meeting logistics, all right, where and, yeah, and when. So our next recommendation is meet in public places during office hours.
Yeah, and this is a difficult topic because why shouldn't you be able to meet with anyone at any time and not have conclusions drawn? Well, you should be able to, but we're all human beings and we all draw conclusions. If I tell you that something's going to take place in a glass office, you know, where two sides are all glass, but mm-hmm. the blinds are down, and so you can't actually see in, but you could have done if the blinds were up, you immediately draw conclusions about what's going on in that office.
Yes.
Because we all do. And it's difficult to recommend something that is about managing other people's imagination, but that's kind of what you're doing right now. And yes, we wish it wasn't true, but this is the reality we live in. Isn't there a horseman's law about embrace reality?
Yes, I think there is. I think it's one of the first ones as well.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, two totally innocent people who meet at a restaurant at 9 p.m. when they finished work at 5 p.m., that just looks guilty. And we might not like that, but it's, as Wendy said, it's true. Meeting with a vendor that late at night looks bad. If you add into that the person is someone of the sex that you're attracted to, conclusions are going to be drawn. And guys, look, you can't tell me, you will not convince Wendy and I that you don't wonder a little bit when you see other people in this situation, even the most innocent people.
Absolutely. And two people in Starbucks at 11 a.m. are completely innocent of anything, even if they're not. But time and place play a huge role in what we put into our imagination about what's going on.
The gaps that we fill in, right? When we just see two people, we fill in the gaps, and those gaps are based on where that meeting's taking place and when it's taking place, right? The same exact actions, the same exact meeting at a different place and time give us completely different conclusions.
Yeah. And again, I'm going to repeat it because we really want you to understand this. It's not just about covering your backside at home. People draw conclusions. Even your colleagues draw conclusions. Your boss draws conclusions about your behavior. And so if you're meeting someone, their boss and their peers and their family draw conclusions. And so if someone suggests that you have a late night meeting in their hotel room or some other private place, it is perfectly okay to be not available because you don't want to have not because you feel unsafe with that person, but just because you're worried about the optics of it. It is okay to say no and suggest somewhere else that's more appropriate. And anyone who insists that you meet them in their hotel room are probably up to something that you don't want to be involved in.
Right. Or they're extremely naive.
Yeah, well, there is that too. You're so much nicer than I am.
Okay, and last, we're going to say don't ever, quote unquote, Joey air quotes, forget to tell your spouse something. We all know what "I forgot to tell you" means. And it's not made any better when we justify it with something like, "Well, it was so unimportant, I just forgot." It doesn't matter if it's unimportant to you, right? What matters is it's important to your spouse. And something that's important to your spouse, by definition, ought to be important to you. We know that you're busy, but you don't just forget things. You remember when you're going to get paid, right? You know when payday's coming. And even if you have a terrible, horrible memory, you have a calendar, you have emails, you have a task list, you have things that reminded you of this meeting.
When I originally read the show notes, I had in it something like, "You're an adult, you don't forget things." Because I was thinking of like little kids coming home from school. "What did you do at school today?" "I can't remember." Because that day is so long to them, they can't remember what happened at the beginning. And somebody told me that was too mean. So I took it out. But I still think, you know, if an adult says they forgot, I'm just like, okay, then you need to go back to kindergarten, because remembering is, you know, it's kind of fundamental to life.
Right. Especially, again, with the person who, by definition of the relationship, you have said, "This is the most important person to me." Right. So.
Exactly. And lots of us forget what we have for breakfast, because that happens every single day. One of my friends is, she works in a very secure area and they have to have an interview every year. And that one of the guys' question is, "Did you clean your teeth this morning?" And she says, "Yes," because like everybody cleans their teeth in the morning. And he says, "Do you actually remember cleaning your teeth? Or are you saying yes because you do it every day?" And of course, like when you think about that, you're thinking, well, I don't know if I actually cleaned my teeth or not.
Or would you drive to work and you get to work and you don't remember three quarters of the drive?
Absolutely. That's such a weird experience. Or you change jobs and you drive to the other job. That's not good either.
That's not good.
But, you know, a meeting that's having a huge effect on your career, or a meeting that's important to you, or a meeting that's out of the ordinary, you don't forget it. You know, you didn't forget to go to the meeting. So why would you forget to tell someone about it?
I think we've alluded to this earlier in the cast, Wendy, but the word "forgetting" is really just code for "I didn't want to tell you." And usually because we know we're in the wrong, right? Like, "Oh, I forgot to tell you I broke my phone," or "I forgot to tell you I spent $300 on something totally unnecessary."
Like shoes.
Like shoes, right? "I forgot to tell you I saw that person on the street or in the store." If you're forgetting to tell your spouse things, then you're probably hiding from your spouse and from yourself, right? There's something going on there that you're not owning up to. So don't forget.
Probably therapy is better than listening.
Yeah.
Or at least a therapist will be more helpful. Okay, so I'm going to sum up. We've said a million times on Career Tools that the basis for successful careers is results and relationships. You have to have those relationships. You need those relationships at work. And we don't want you to stop having them because you're worried about what people will think, including your spouse. But you need your spouse to be okay with those relationships. And the way to do that is for you to be open about them and to communicate about them to your spouse. Take away as much of the mystery as you can, and things will be ordinary and nothing to worry about. Whereas if there's mystery, again, people naturally fill in the gaps, and you don't want them to be doing that.
Cool. Thanks, Wendy. This was fun.
Good. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
That's all for this week. Come back next week and we'll have another exciting topic.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for CareerTools on Twitter and LinkedIn.